The Dodgers are reportedly bringing back Kike Hernandez, and despite a full 40-man roster, they might not be done adding. We'll break down how next. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Monday, February 10th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. Send all your friends, by the way, firstpitchpodcast.com to get this in your feeds. We're pretty much daily now as pitchers and catchers have started reporting. And I think that's the big thing here, Troy. We saw the Chicago Cubs reporting on Sunday. Los Angeles Dodgers will be reporting for spring training today. That is because those teams are going to play an early season series in Japan. This is an extension of the MLB World Tour thing that they did last year. They played in Seoul, South Korea. This is Cubs versus Dodgers in Japan on the 18th and 19th of March, like a week before the season starts. But they'll be playing exhibition games first, right? The Cubs will play the Hanshin Tigers and the Yomiuri Giants. The Dodgers will play the Giants and the Tigers on the 15th and the 16th, a day off. And then those two teams will officially start their seasons against each other in Japan, 7 p.m. Japan time. I have no clue what time that is for us here, but we'll get to watch MLB games. Hopefully a little better than that whole, I had to wake up at like 4 or 5 a.m. to watch the Korea series. But the reason that the Dodgers are able to keep adding is because pitchers and catchers are in, right? So Kike Hernandez is going to join this roster. But once your pitchers and catchers have reported, you can start moving players to the 60-day IL and making a 40-man roster spot. Now, you can't just move everybody, right? You can only move a guy in conjunction with a transaction. But once Kike Hernandez is officially signed, which has not happened yet, there's, top of my head, five guys that you don't expect to pitch this year and you can put on the 60-day IL, right? Kyle Hurt, Tommy John surgery last July. River Ryan, Tommy John surgery last August. They're out all year. Emmett Sheehan, Tommy John surgery in May of last year. He's probably out all year. Gavin Stone, shoulder surgery in November. They've already announced he's out for the whole year. Reliever Bruce Dahl Gratterall had labrum surgery in November. He's probably out majority of this year. So, Kike Hernandez coming in. He's one. Clayton Kershaw, when they inevitably bring back Clayton Kershaw, he'll be a second one. When they want to take Roky Sasaki and add him to the 40-man roster, the 26-man roster, because right now he's a minor league player, he'll be a third spot. They can still add two more players to this roster. But you and I were talking before the mics came on. I don't know if there's anybody good enough still out there to supplant anybody currently on the roster. That's the issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they've pretty much snapped up everybody that's worth playing on a major league roster this season. The only people that are seemingly left is Clayton Kershaw, who everybody expects to re-sign with the Dodgers and potentially be his last year in Major League Baseball. And it's insane what they've done this offseason, and they've done so much that they went from being spoiled for choice to now they have no more choices.
Yeah, and they took the weakness, which arguably was the bullpen. They made some trades last year, and then they've made some signings to beef it up. You turned me on to the news of Dave Roberts announcing Tanner Scott's going to start off as the closer. So lefty closer, I feel like you don't see a ton of lefty closers. Will Smith, formerly of the Braves and the Rangers and Royals, I feel like he's probably the last one that I can think of, which means Kirby Yates, Blake Treinen, relief guys, probably setup men. Michael Kopech, setup man. Evan Phillips, who had 18 saves last year, setup man. And if you go by Fangraphs, they've got Alex Vezia as the long man in the pen in the third lefty. Dude had a 1.76 ERA and was worth more than one WAR last year. And they've got him as a long reliever because there's so many really good relievers in this pen. It just absolutely kind of blows my mind as to the embarrassment of riches on this Dodgers team. I was thinking about like what relievers are out there that you could conceivably still add over here. And I'm like, David Robertson, you mentioned Joe Kelly. Like, they're good relievers. They would make 25 teams better. I don't think you can find a spot for them in this bullpen, which just blows my mind.
Yeah. Their bullpen is just, it's insane. It's like in their bullpen, they're spoiled for choice. And it's top to bottom. There is really no weakness. Everybody in their bullpen last year had an ERA of below 3.7 and pitched at least 45 innings in 2024, which is just insane when you think about a bullpen. But I mean, I talked about
they're going to have to do that though with the rotation.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's a big thing for me is how injury prone this rotation is. And then guys like Roky Sasaki, who's not going to be used to the major league schedule and workload, they have to have a bullpen like this. So it works out fantastically for them because of the rotation. And real quick on the Japan game, sorry to tell you this, Lindsay, but you will have to wake up early. It's at 4 a.m. Central time.
Oh, 5 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Central. Here's the thing that bugs me is I understand why they do this. They want the get these Japanese players in front of the Japanese audience. Think about Dodgers fans, though. That game's at 2 a.m. local time for Dodgers fans. And isn't it during the week?
Yeah, it's
a Tuesday and Wednesday. Like, it's not even like a weekend. They have to either stay up late or wake up at 2 a.m. to watch their own team play. And I'm like, this is nuts. This is absurd. Like, yeah. I understand the growing the game thing, but like, you got to figure out a better way to do this. Have them play in the morning in Japan or something. Come on, do something here.
Put it on right, yeah, something. Yeah, I agree with you, and it's starting to become this way with all of the major American professional sports. You know, you see the NFL has been going to Europe for well over a decade now, and they'll probably start going to Asia at some point. And I'm sure that the NBA will do it. Even WWE, they do it. They go to Saudi Arabia for some of their
live events.
And so and they're in the middle of the day and sometimes around lunchtime. And so it's becoming common practice for all of the major entertainment aspects here in America and sports. And it's just we as the normal viewing audience just have to kind of change our schedule if we want to partake in it.
Absolutely. All right. Kind of getting before we wrap up this Dodgers conversation, what's the role for Kike Hernandez? Like, we have him probably as a bench piece, provided that Hyesung Kim can stick at second base. You know, obviously coming over from the KBO, we don't know exactly how he's going to adjust. So that's always a question. If he's really bad in spring, he could start in the minors maybe, but whose roster spot does he take? You have to think Austin Barnes, backup catcher. You got to have one of those. Miguel Rojas, backup middle infielder. They've got to have another guy who can play short besides just Tommy Edman and, you know, Mookie Betts, who is playing shortstop. Fangraphs has Kike taking on Andy Pages' roster spot, which would mean your only backup outfielders are technically Mookie. He could do it. Or Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez. Does it feel like they would send Pages to the minors or that they would just go ahead and eat the rest of this contract of Chris Taylor, who in 200 at-bats was worth negative war last year after batting 202 with a 300 slug? Would they just eat the money, the $13 million owed to him this year, plus a $4 million buyout on his option next year, and just go ahead and either send him to the minors or cut him altogether? What's more
likely? I think that is the better option of the two, sending him over Andy Pages, because Andy Pages will provide you better offense than Chris Taylor ever will. And really all that Chris Taylor is going to be good for is a defensive replacement. And while they don't really need too much offense, their bench is kind of weak on the offensive side, and having Andy Pages on there will increase that a good bit over Chris Taylor. And we've seen that they don't go ahead.
I would argue he's not even going to be great defensively. Look at last year. He didn't get a ton of play time, right?
Yeah.
Negative 5 outs above average fielding in that limited play time.
Wow.
Like, that's a rate stat. You have to play a lot to get a lot of it, yeah. Unless you're just exceptionally good or bad. And he was exceptionally bad. The arm strength is there. The sprint speed's there. But, like, range, he was negative. Arm value, he was negative. And kind of looking defensively where they used him. I'm trying to find that real quick because I'm obviously I jumped ahead of my skis and cut you off, and I shouldn't have. It was kind of he played second, he played third, he played left, he played center, and he didn't grade out positively anywhere.
Wow. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, the only real benefit to keeping him over Andy Pages to me, I guess technically if he wants to rebound or if he's great in the clubhouse, but you can get Pages everyday playing time in AAA. Does Andy Pages need to play every day in AAA? I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily think he's developmentally at the point where you've got to have him do that. He hit .248 in the majors last year. 116 games, 13 homers. Struck out less than once a game, right? And when he was in AAA, he hit .356 in Oklahoma City. So, like, I mean, what else is he going to learn in AAA? It feels like you need to jettison Chris Taylor, but that's just me. And I'm guessing they're going to start off preserving the depth and keeping the veteran on the roster and sending the young guy to the minors.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that is what they will do, but I think that they should just go ahead and jettison Chris Taylor. And we've seen that they have no aversion to spending money. So if they jettison him and still have to pay him, I don't think they would care.
Okay. And speaking of an aversion to spending money, that was a great segue by you. You didn't even plan that. A great bullpen, but a team averse to spending money. We're going to keep doing our previews. This week's the AL Central. We're just going to move west and do that. And then we're going to come back across and catch the NL East last. Let's talk about the Cleveland Guardians. Won the division last year, 92-69. Aversion to spending money is what made me think of them. This is a weird thing, right? They traded Josh Naylor away. They replaced him with Carlos Santana. They do still have Kyle Manzardo, who is an okay defender at first, but is also like the slowest player I've ever watched play baseball live. And I feel like they still don't really have a center fielder, right? Like they've traded away some players. And so their lineup as of now is Lane Thomas in center field. So what are your thoughts on this roster as of now? Should we expect them to be better than last year? Should we think they're going to be worse? Where do they need to keep making moves?
Yeah, they should have done a lot more in the lineup than they did. But we've seen throughout the years that, as you said, that the segue over here, that the Cleveland Guardians have an aversion to spending money. And they're one of those teams that should be spending a lot more than they do, and they just don't. And as far as the lineup goes, it's while you can expect some guys to take steps forward just because of their age, and maybe Juan Brito can do something in the majors, we don't know yet. But Bo Naylor's 25, Kyle Manzardo's 24 and a half, and Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez are really their top two guys, and it's kind of goes back to that old Troy adage of their lineup is Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, and the boys.
The boys. Yeah. It just, the subtractions this year kind of blow my mind. They traded Andre Jimenez to the Blue Jays, a guy that won a platinum glove, but offensively has not been able to recapture that magic of when they extended him. They traded Miles Straw in a separate deal to the Blue Jays. So two very good defenders. Haven't really replaced him. They did flip Spencer Horwitz that they got from the Blue Jays. I thought this was a good deal. They got Luis Ortiz. They got Josh Hartle. Like, I really thought that was a good move. Who was the third guy? I'm trying to remember who the third guy was. But, like, I like Josh Hartle. I like Luis Ortiz. I think those were some good moves. But it still feels like you need to find a center fielder, right? Because, again, Miles Straw is gone. And so, you know, how do you necessarily configure this defense in a way that does your pitching justice, right? I wondered if they would be like a Harrison Bader destination. He went, I think, to the Twins.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, do you spend a tiny amount of money on a guy like a Michael A. Taylor or something? Or, I mean, do we have any faith that like Lane Thomas can be good enough in center field? It reminds me of the Nationals trying Eddie Rosario in center field last year, and he was just awful. Lane Thomas was awful in general when he got over to Cleveland. You'd hope that with a standard offseason, he can be back to what he is. I think their offense would be really good with that, but it's can the outfield defense be good enough to not waste this very young and quality rotation? Your old man's 32, and it's been lively. It's Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Luis Ortiz, Styx McKenzie, if he can figure it out, and then this just absurd bullpen that they have.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree with you. Their outfield configuration is definitely not great. Definitely leaves people wanting, and it's gonna hurt their rotation in the long run. And it's a solid rotation for real. Ben Lively surprised the world. I watched him pitch against the Phillies. It was his return. He was a former Philly, and he pitched against the Phillies in that series in Philadelphia last year, and he had a fantastic game. And it's their rotation. It's a good rotation. And you'd think that they would provide better defense behind them, and they just really haven't done that, or really offense behind them. So they're going to have to hope that rotation keeps the opposing teams to two runs or less, and then turn it over to the bullpen, who will probably not give up any runs.
Yeah, and I guess sticking with the lineup a little bit here before we move on to that pitching staff. Bo Naylor, second full year in the league, I think, here, maybe third. Is this the year that like he finally kind of breaks out and figures it out? Because like you can see a path here for this team to be better, right? Kyle Manzardo, you know, bring down the strikeout rate, hit for a little bit more power. Jose Ramirez being Jose Ramirez, Carlos Santana finding the fountain of youth and continuing what I thought was a decent season last year, like 11% walk rate. It's a very Guardians thing to kind of do there. Lane Thomas figuring it out. Again, a lot of young guys. Juan Brito at second. Brian Rocchio at short. Big Christmas on your bench, a first base outfield, kind of corner outfield guy. Jonathan Rodriguez. Fun fact, he got one of those special cards in MLB The Show for having a big game or a big weekend or something. And it's absurdly overpowered. It's like 120 power against both lefties and righties. It's nuts. It's been in my DH and Dynasty and Diamond Dynasty for like 3 months now. But like, can this offense, I guess this offense can be one of the better ones in the league, but are they going to be, or is this counting too much on young players to all figure it out at the same time?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East that we talked about. They have a lot of young guys that they're expecting to take steps forward and hoping that they all do take those steps forward at the same time, instead of going out on the free agent market and bringing guys in that are surefire things to kind of supplement the offense and not bank on six guys all taking steps forward instead of just three or four. The pieces are there. They just have to all take those steps forward this year and to improve.
Okay. All right. So to the rotation here, again, I like this rotation. I mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm a little out of order on this guy. Sorry. I do like the youth and everything that they can do. Ben Lively was a big surprise, obviously. The question, I think, like, Shane Bieber is going to theoretically come back second half of the year. I never really have high expectations for a starter coming off of Tommy John. But the top five up here, McKenzie struggled. You know, he's like 160 pounds, so I think workload just gets to him after a while. But when you look at the depth options here, Joey Cantillo, Logan Allen, Doug Nikhazy, they have some interesting NRIs. Coby Allard, former Brave, former Philly. Vince Velasquez, former Philly. Do you think, two-part question. Part one, do you think they have the top-end depth to work in October? And then two, do you think they have the overall depth to get through a season?
So as far as top end depth, I think they're still kind of lacking on that. We'd have to see Tanner Bibee take a pretty big step forward, which he was good.
I think he can.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, but we would have to see that in 2025. Like, he had a good 2024, but to be a true ace, he's going to have to get that ERA down a lot closer to three than it was. But as far as their depth goes, I think they definitely have the depth with all the non-roster invitees that you named, Joey Quintillo, which he's not one, but plus Joey Quintillo, Logan Allen, Doug Nikhazy. I think Vince Velasquez could kind of be a diamond in the rough for a swingman long reliever type in their bullpen. Hey,
if nothing else, maybe he can help out in the outfield. That dude remember the game he's playing. I think he's playing left for Philly. Yep. He has that diving catch out there. He guns a dude down at the plate. Like, put Vince Velasquez as the new is Cleveland's version of Shohei Ohtani this year. Watch. We're going to do this. This is going to happen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He'd probably be better than Lane Thomas in center. So, but
people don't understand how much running's involved in center. Lane Thomas is not the body type to play 162 games in center field. Put him in a corner. Give this team Michael A. Taylor.
Yeah.
And then put Lane Thomas in a corner. And then just understand that late in games, you can pinch hit for Taylor, and then Thomas can take over for a couple innings. It hurts your defense a little bit if you're losing, it gives you much better offense. But, like, don't ask him to try to produce offensively and run that much. All right, I'm done with that. Sorry, I just pet peeve of mine. Go.
No, I agree with you. But, yeah, the depth for the rotation is certainly there. It's just as far as any of them being top-tier caliber true aces, we have still yet to see that from any of them. We can this season, but we have still yet to at this point.
Yeah, and I think that the issue with not having that top end there is we saw what happened in 2024, both how much they had to use that pin and then what that ended up doing to those guys in the postseason, right? Because there's a couple concepts to think about, and one of them is just the accumulated fatigue for a reliever, right? Having to get up and get hot, pitch, you know, pitching. In essence, some of these guys were close to every other game pitching, right? And you have to keep in mind, too, that even if you don't see a guy enter the game, he may have been throwing in the pen. He may have gotten hot and then not came into the game. But then also, those workloads add up, and by the time you get to the postseason, and then the same team is seeing you three or four or even five times, that's where you run into issues with giving up home runs and struggling. Like, Clase gave up more runs in the postseason than he did in the entire regular season last year because he threw 74 innings. Cade Smith threw 75 innings. Hunter Gaddis threw 74 innings. And so by the time you get to the Yankees, you've run these guys into the ground pitching almost every other day, and then the Yankees see them three or four times in the same series. I do like that they added some pieces, right? Slade Cissoni in that trade with Arizona. Josh Bell in the Josh Bell trade? So he can give you a long man. He's been a starter. He's been a reliever. He can give you some movement there. They brought in Paul Sewald as a free agent, another experienced back-end guy, but you don't need him to be a closer because you have Clase. And if Clase couldn't go, you would probably give Cade Smith or Hunter Gaddis save opportunities. So, like, you can add some more pieces. The goal here should just be we're going to use these guys. We're not going to use them for more than 60 or 65 innings instead of hitting them up for 75 before the postseason and then running them into the ground even more when you get there. Is this a team that should consider taking some of these depth starters and rather than like Velasquez or an Allard, and rather than just potentially losing them, add them to the 40 and throw them in the pen? Should this be a team that does that to get length out of the pen without having to use the top guys every day?
Oh, 100%. Because, yeah, like you talked about, that workload that especially their three back-end guys last year pitched to is just insane. And real quick, wrong Josh. It was the Josh Naylor trade, not the Josh Bell trade.
There you go. I was one of the Joshes.
Or one of the Joshes. There's so many, but good news is it's not Josh Lowe or Lau. But yeah, I agree. I think they have to do that with, honestly, Vince Velasquez and Colby Allard would be good options for that, because Colby kind of served in that role with the Phillies in 2024, outside of making a few spot starts here or there when Taiwan Walker was doing whatever Taiwan Walker does. And then Vince Velasquez, he also served in that role with the Phillies as well as with his last team. And it worked out well for him, and he's better suited for that role. And it would, again, take some of the workload off the back end of that bullpen, because when you look at what the rotation did in 2024, which is a big reason for why the bullpen had such a high workload, only one guy qualified for the ERA title. Ben Lively threw 150 innings. Gavin Williams was 76, and Tristan McKenzie was 75. Luis Ortiz wasn't on the team, and he threw 135.
Yeah.
And then for projections this year, they still only have one guy, Tanner Bibee, projected to qualify for the ERA title per Fangraphs. So they're going to have to come up with ways to get more innings, preferably out of their starting rotation, instead of just running their bullpen to the bone and getting them just pure, absolutely exhausted going into the postseason.
Yeah. Okay. So to kind of wrap up, I guess, the Guardians preview here, do we think Cleveland wins the division again, or is this the year that Kansas City or something, or Detroit, or maybe the Twins or something, come back and take the division crown?
Yeah, I don't think the Cleveland Guardians are going to win the division again this year, just because of the potential step back that their offense is going to take, and we don't know if they're going to get that massive workload off the back end of their bullpen. So I think they are going to take a step back, and I don't think they're going to win the division this year.
Yeah. This has been First Pitch for Monday, February 10th. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, so you know when we drop tomorrow's episode, where we're going to go probably the Kansas City Royals on their preview and talking about the guys who reported for spring for the Cubs and the Dodgers. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.